You are listening to a special edition of Minnesota Native News. We just heard a radio documentary about the making of a play called We Will Do It for the Water. Producer-reporter Lori Stern spent months with Native youth in rehearsals. She also talked with director Curtis Kirby III and playwright Sharon Day of the Indigenous Peoples Task Force. Shortly before the first performance, we asked the troupe to come to KBEM and record the play. You're about to hear that recording. Here's Sharon Day to set up the first scene.
The first scene talks about the creation of the universe and the body of water from which all life flows. Ho ho atene,
ho ho atene. In the beginning, before the beginning, a single thought rang out. It was this thought that I created Ishpaming, the universe. As the first eight planets settled into the heavens, they each gave something of themselves. It was this alchemy that created the Madewabu, the most sacred water of all. My little sister has been fasting for 3 days. At sundown, I go to her. Are you all right?
This morning, there's this one drop of dew. It was hanging from that pine tree. It was glistening in the sunlight. I imagine how good that one drop of dew would taste, how to quench all my thirst. The more I looked at that one drop of dew, the more it seemed as if the whole universe, Ishpeming, was held in that one drop of dew.
Who can own the water? The sacred Madewabu that still flows from above? Coca-Cola? Nestle? Or Walmart? We buy bottled water because we are afraid to drink the chemicalized liquid that flows from our faucets. Only 1% of Earth's water is safe for drinking. Today, a gallon of water costs more than a gallon of gasoline. Who can own the water? Coca-Cola, Nestle, and Walmart? In the beginning, before the beginning, a single thought rang out. It was this thought that created Ishpeming, the universe. As the first eight planets settled into their places in the heavens, they each gave something of themselves. It was this alchemy that created the Madewabu, the most sacred water of all. Kiokine, Kiokine, ho atene, ho atene. Scene 2 recreates the day in 1999 when state troopers arrested demonstrators trying to preserve the sacred spring at Camp Coldwater.
Bonjour. Good morning. Nice day to stop traffic.
Yes, good morning. It is a good day. We are all set. At 8 a.m., we will go into the street, lock arms.
I came to support you, but I can't get arrested today. I have a meeting with the State Board of Education for our new school. Oh, do you remember my sister Doreen?
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. My daughter's going to pick up some coffee. Do you guys want some?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, can you just grab, like, 3 black coffees, and I'll see you later?
All right, nice meeting you, and thanks for coming. Now it's time to get started.
All the people who are going to participate, form a circle and lock arms.
All right, I'll be over there supporting you guys.
Let's get these savages.
You got this side, I got that side. We get out of here, you Indians.
Stop, Rose. Save we force you to inflict pain.
You don't get out of here, I'll pepper spray you.
Camp cold water.
Stop.
We do it for the water.
We warned you.
Cold water. We do it for
stop
the
that.
Water.
Save.
You, you're next.
Do your job. Take a picture.
Safe camp, cold water. We do it.
You're going to be charged with assaulting a police officer.
Safe camp, cold water. We do it for the water.
Scene 3 talks about the eternal responsibility women have to care for the water, and in particular, the spring at Camp Coldwater.
As I sit and listen to the grandmothers, I begin to understand in a profound way my feelings towards the spring called Camp Coldwater.
The grandmothers say women are the ones to take care of the water. In our ceremonies, women gather the water. It is we who sing the water songs, calling for blessings from the water spirits, the life force that sustains us.
The grandmothers spoke of this water that flows through our bodies, nurturing us, even before we enter the world. In the spiritual realm, there is a lake that is never ending. It has no beginning and no end. This lake is shimmering, brilliant, and blue. It is pure and clear and sacred.
Now, I understand my desire to prevent this road from being built. The heavy equipment used so close will destroy the limestone, destroying the spring. It is a sacred place. This is where the water bubbles up from the earth and is pure, like medicine, as it makes its way through the fragile limestone to the surface of the land. Native people have been using this spring since the beginning of time.
I wonder, what would happen if all the women of the world said, no more? If we said to the corporations, to the farmers whose pesticides run off into our rivers and streams, to the towns and cities, no more. We will not allow you to continue to pollute our water, the lifeblood of Mother Earth.
I will say no more. I will continue to take the women one by one, if necessary, to the cold water spring. I watch them as we go. I see tears running silently down their faces as they gaze at this wondrous spring. There is no need for words. The great water spirit speaks to them. No more.
No more.
No more.
No more!
The fourth and fifth scene recounts the arrest that took place on Hiawatha Avenue during the Camp Coldwater protest.
What is this?
It is a medicine pouch. I am Made.
Give it to me.
No, I cannot do that.
Yes, give it to me.
No.
Come on, let's keep checking the other prisoners. We'll come back.
Give me that.
No, I cannot do that.
Sister, give it to them. It'll be easier.
No, you don't understand. This is my medicine pouch. It contains my Miga shell.
For safety reasons, no one is allowed to wear anything around their neck. If you do not give it to us, you will have to go to segregation until you are released on bail.
Fine.
Pick up your things and follow us.
Are you dressed?
Yes.
Give us that thing around your neck.
No.
We checked with the prison chaplain. He says there is no more significance to what you are wearing than a Lutheran wearing the cross.
I am Made. This is my life, Migas. I'm not supposed to take it off. If I were a priest, would you ask me to remove my ceremonial object?
Well, here, it's contraband. Give it to me.
No, I cannot do that. What are you gonna do with that pepper spray? Spray me? I have asthma. I could get sick.
If you don't give it to us, we'll have to pepper spray you, and then we'll take it.
Why spray me? I'm not gonna resist, but I'm not gonna give it to you.
Scenes 6 and 7 are about the Nebe walks, the walks begun by Josephine Mandaman along the rivers and lakes to show our love and respect.
I saw you walking along the lake shore. You and some other ladies had on long skirts. You were carrying a copper pail filled with water. You were walking along Lake Superior, I believe.
Oh, well, you see, 5 years ago, the Grand Chief asked us, what will you do for the water? I could move the water, because water has to move to be healthy. Maybe that's what he meant when he said, what will you do for the water?
Nibe Gizake Hiku Kimi Quetcha Wayne Nimiku Kiza Way Nimiku Nibe Gizake Hiku Kimi Quetcha Wayne Nimiku
I had a realization. When we gather this water from the Gulf of Mexico, we've orphaned this water. Now, it's up to us to bring it to its destination, to Lake Superior. When we commingle all the waters and pour them into Lake Superior, who knows how long it will take for them to get back to their homes. When the four ocean waters are commingled, they'll confer with each other. And once they get back to their homes, they'll tell the other waters that there are still people who love the water, thank the water, and respect the water.
In scene 8, we go back to the Camp Coldwater protest when the woman who was arrested tries to explain it to her grandson. In case you haven't figured it out yet, that's me and Kirby. Scene 8 begins with Kirby on the phone.
Hey, Uncle William. Why did you write "Welcome Home, Jailbird" on the door? You can get arrested for a good reason? Oh, she was trying to save the springs? Okay. Well, I'll just do my homework until she gets home then. All right, Tanako. Bye.
Hey, Kirby, I'm home.
Welcome home, Jailbird.
How'd you know I got arrested?
When I got home from school, there was a note on the door. Uncle William must have left it. It said, "Welcome home, Jailbird. Are you okay?"
Whoa, your hair is a mess. You didn't fix it?
Grandma, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Some bruises, but mostly injured pride. They tried to humiliate us. They took my medicine pouch with my mega shell. I was scared they were going to lose it.
Did you get it back?
Yeah.
Grandma, will you save the spring?
I don't know, but we're sure going to keep trying.
The narrator or storyteller is back in scene 9. He explains how stones have stories and how these stones and these stories are connected to the water protectors at Standing Rock.
There's a story to everything. Take stones, for instance. Are they just a composite of sand and minerals? Or are they the oldest living spirits on the earth? The grandmothers and grandfathers who have seen and heard everything. Our stories are just stories, and you are blessed for seeing the story come to life, to unfold right before you. That's when you know the stories are the evidence of the truth of our teaching.
Early last spring, as the frost was leaving the ground and the buds began to open on the trees, I joined the Minnesota Nebe Walk. I know the river valley and rocks in one way, having spent years mapping out the geology of the watershed. I wanted to learn what the river meant to others. Ninga Izichige Nibi Onje.
As we walked, we were joined by those whose land we were passing through, the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate and Midwakton Band of Dakota. Their people have always been here. They know that the stones of the Minnesota River Valley are very old, almost as old as Earth itself. The rocks have been so deeply weathered that they have begun to turn back into sand and clay. The white and pastel-colored clay is only found in patches, but has been used for pottery since the beginning of time. Inga Izichige Nibi Onje.
Almost all of this weathered rock was swept away by the large flood that formed the valley as the ice sheets were retreating. The flood revealed the smooth, round forms of the very old granite rock near the towns of Ornville and Granite Falls, and an even older genesis between Redwood Falls and Sacred Heart. In places, perfectly rounded boulders balance on rolling rock surfaces, slowly lowered as the rock around them was dissolved into clay. Inga Izichige Nibi Onje.
We walk from the headwaters of the Minnesota to the place where the Minnesota joins the Mississippi. These are magical places. Now, I will listen closely to what the rocks have to say. Hear the clink of the bead on the copper pail and honor all who have came before us, as well as those who will follow.
Scene 10, we were at Standing Rock when the police confront the water protectors. In this scene, what the audience sees is a lone woman facing a battalion of police.
Miniwachoni, water is life. Miniwachoni, water is life. We can't drink oil, keep it in the soil. We can't drink oil, keep it in the soil. I am standing here for our future generations. Everyone deserves clean water.
There is a story to everything. Take stones, for instance. Are they just a composite of sand and minerals? Or are they the oldest living spirits on the earth? The grandmothers and grandfathers who have seen and heard everything.
Where the Cannonball River joins the Missouri River, there used to be a whirlpool that created large, round sandstorm formations. The river's true name is Iyawakanshakpi, river that makes sacred stones. We named the site of our resistance the Sacred Stones Camp. The stones are not created anymore, ever since the Army Corps of Engineers dredged the mouth of Iyawakanshakpi Wakpa and flooded the area in the late 1950s as they finished the Wahe Dam. They killed a portion of our sacred river. Now, there are no more whirlpools to create the large round rocks that we call sacred stone.
When we tie our little boy water drums, the helper to the grandfather drums, we use these small stones. These stones were created by the waves of Lake Superior. We use 7 small grandfather-grandmother stones, one for each of the 7 grandmother-grandfather teachings. Love, kindness, respect, humility, courage, honesty, and wisdom. These little grandmother-grandfather stones are sacred. There's only one time a month where you'll find these precious little stones.
There was a thunderbird nest with eggs near a waterfall on the Serpent River. The whirlpools from the waterfall form these stones. They are sacred. A friend of mine picked one of these thunderbird eggs up when she heard about the resistance to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline from being built at Lake Oahe on the Missouri River. She knew this thunderbird egg needed to be sent to the Standing Rock Camp. The thunderbird egg, along with a sema, was given to Grandmother Josephine Madaman to fulfill this responsibility. The directions were to place this sacred thunderbird egg into the Iyawakanshakpi Wakpa. So Grandmother Josephine did this along with Madewiwins. The next day, the Army Corps of Engineers said they were going to do a full environmental impact survey. The thunderbird egg did its magic.
Our stories are just stories. Until you are blessed for seeing the story come to life, to unfold right before you. That's when you know. These stories are the evidence of the truth of our teachings.
So this story is getting a lot of attention. The Dakota Access Oil Pipeline is something that's been argued over for years.
Green Report, we head all the way out to Cannonball, North Dakota.
And protesters say they are worried that the massive pipeline, which is slated to run throughout 4 states, could upset the reservation's sacred sites.
Thousands of activists remain camped out in one of the largest Native American political actions in years.
Scene 11 reprises a conversation with Standing Rock members at the Smithsonian Museum of American Indian.
How did the Sacred Stones Camp begin, and why?
It was in April when Standing Rock Sioux Tribe put out a call for help with prayers and people began to come. The first camp created was called Sacred Stones. The land is on the Cannonball River. The second camp was Ochetti Sakowin, then Red Warriors Camp. And the last one was Rosebud Camp.
What was it like to have so many people on your reservation?
As a tribal council member, I can tell you it was very difficult to manage the camps. Remember, the Sacred Stones began as a peaceful prayer camp to stop the Black Snake.
How many people came?
Over 300 tribes and nations supported Standing Rock. They're environmentalists, many of them Washichus. They came with an agenda. We wanted a spiritual place that worked through prayer. They wanted to build an eco-green village. They didn't ask us what we wanted. They wanted to do direct actions. We wanted to follow the instructions given by the spirits. Be peaceful and pray for the water. Many Wachoni, water is life.
How were the camps supported?
Many of the Washichus created GoFundMe pages, and donations flowed into Standing Rock to support the camps. It was the Standing Rock government that was ultimately responsible for the camps, but we had very little control over what went on there. If there was a domestic abuse situation at the camp, who had the authority to make an arrest? Tribal police or sheriff's office?
How did people get treated there?
The Bismarck police need cultural competency training. Orville Looking Horse asked people to bring their pipes, the Chinupa to pray. The sheriff heard,
"Load your pipes."
He thought the Indians were getting ready for war. We were simply preparing for a spiritual battle.
How are things different now?
We are still here. We still have to go to Bismarck to shop for food. Racism is alive, and it's coming out openly. Trump is coming out of them. Hatred and fear. I wish they could see we are humans just like them. We have visions and goals. We are just a shade darker.
What did the youth do at the camp?
I went to the camp every day. Chopped wood and checked on the elders. I made sure they had food until December, when our tribal chairman asked people to go home.
What did you do without the internet?
We rode our horses. We swam in the Cannonball River, and we helped keep the camp clean. We were in ceremony every day. There was a sacred fire that needed to be kept clean and continuously going. There were talking circles, pipe ceremonies, water ceremonies, and women's circles. Everybody worked together at Standing Rock. The fire that was ignited can never be put out again. There are 300 tribes all standing for the earth, the water, and the people. Many Wachoni.
We tried to teach the visitors that came our ways. You can't stand in peace without prayer or stand in prayer without peace.
What will you do in the future?
I want to create jobs so we can have economic growth. I want all of us youth to break out of our shells. Everyone has a destiny. Let our light shine. We are beautiful. We are funny. Show your light.
Scene 13 takes place at Ocheti Sakowin, or Sacred Stone Camp. The main speaker is Grandmother Regina Brave, a longtime Lakota warrior.
Grandmother, what will we do when the police come to raid the camp?
Well, we will stay at Cheyenne River North Camp to take a treaty stand.
But what if we get arrested?
This is treaty territory.
But what does the treaty have to do with saving the Missouri River?
It has everything to do with it. This is our land. The treaty extends our territory from the mouth of the Missouri River east to Omaha and Council Bluffs along the south shore of the Platte River. This treaty is the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868. We are a sovereign nation based off this peace treaty, a nation-to-nation treaty. Yet, in 1876, they came back for us at Little Bighorn. They planned to wipe us out so that no one would be left to talk about the treaties. They fenced us in when Standing Rock happened. The Army Corps of Engineers claim that they own this land, but the Army Corps of Engineers is not a government and we cannot negotiate with them. We are here to protect our land and water. If there is an oil spill in it, it will not only affect the people at Standing Rock, but all the people everywhere. The IRA government is illegal. When they passed the Wheeler-Howard Act, we became prisoners of war for over 150 years. So they sent a woman to negotiate with me from the Army Corps of Engineers, but I will not negotiate. The Army Corps of Engineers is not a government. We only negotiate nation to nation. The chief will negotiate. He is also taking a treaty stand.
If we are sovereign nations, why doesn't anyone stop this?
I want the women of this country to know this. We are matriarchal. Women chose our leaders and the head men, and it's time we go back to choosing our leaders once again.
Scene 14. Kirby connects the dots between actions to protect the water then and now.
Hey, Graham. Remember the time you took me to Camp Coldwater Spring?
Yeah. When you were sick?
I believe, yeah, because I stayed home from school, and you and Auntie Dee were going to the spring to get water for ceremonies.
Yeah, it was your first time there ever at the spring because, you know, they kept the gates locked on the weekends. Back then, you needed a special permit to get back in.
You and Auntie Dee dipped me in the water. Man, that water was so cold.
Yeah, you let out a squeal when we put you in there.
I mean, I felt better right away. The spring used to be so beautiful, you know? Now, the highway's so close and cars are whizzing by, parking meters all around it, the spring doesn't flow as much as it used to. We are lucky it flows at all, with all those cars and trucks rumbling by so close.
It still flows because people are making offerings and singing the water song there. Now, they said that we can't even drink the water because of E. coli bacteria.
Why didn't they listen to the people? Would they listen now?
Scene 15 is a vow by Indigenous women to protect the water where they live in English and in Indigenous languages.
We Indigenous women of the world stand. We stand with hope. We stand with dignity. We stand to love whomever we please.
We women of the world stand. We stand here and here and here. We stand for peace. We stand for justice. We stand for those who cannot stand.
We Lakota Dakota women stand. We stand for the Minnesota River and the Missouri River, Mini Wachoni.
We Ojibwe women stand for the Mississippi River, Nibiawan Minobimadzwin.
We Omaha women stand for the Missouri River, Niakani Tawai.
We Tuscarora women stand for the James River, Owaque Owanahe.
We Seneca women stand for Seneca Lake, Oneganos Oguanode.
We Anishinaabe women stand for Lake Superior, Nibiawan Minobimadzwin.
We Mexica women stand for the Rio Grande River, Aguas Vida.
We, the women of the world, stand. We stand for our mothers. We stand for Mother Earth and all her creations. We stand for the waters. We stand here.
And here.
And here.
We end with a song. This is the same song we sing at the end of every day that we walk for the water. Gi bi mo sayan, we walk for the water.
You have been listening to a special edition of Minnesota Native News and a studio-recorded version of the play, We Will Do It for the Water. The play has been performed nearly a dozen times in the Upper Midwest and is still in production.